All right, welcome to Season 3, Episode 32, also known as Episode 104 of the Retro Game Club Podcast. I am Hugh, and joining me, fresh off the latest Blue Origin trip, Rob.
Yeah, and Bezos did not spray me with champagne. I don't know why he was doing that. Did you watch that thing?
No, I did not.
No, well, okay, here's the quick rundown. They went up, they came down, everyone was safe. For some reason, Bezos shows up and with a bottle of champagne. Everyone gets out of the capsule. He offers some champagne to Shatner, and Shatner gives him a weird look. And then he opens it and sprays everyone as Shatner backs up, thinking, with a look on his face, like, what is this guy's problem? And yeah, it was very cringeworthy. It's not often that I say these words, but I felt really bad for William Shatner.
Was he like a recovering alcoholic, maybe?
I don't know. Or it was like 9 a.m. Western time, and he just had the most spiritual experience in his life, and he didn't want a billionaire spraying him with alcohol, maybe? Sticky alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, his wife died of an alcohol-related accident. So it would not surprise me if William Shatner had a very, very strong aversion to alcohol, which would be a thing you would want to know before you sprayed him in the face with champagne.
Yes, probably. And also, if someone just got back from space or a life-changing event, maybe don't be a spaz around him for the first, you know, many minutes. Maybe
I'd
that.
I'd also say don't spray 90-year-old guys with champagne ever.
Yeah.
Lots of... I'm picturing right now a Venn diagram where the center is people sprayed by Jeff Bezos with champagne, right?
Yeah.
It's an interesting Venn diagram. So what have you been up to?
Oh, man. So I'm almost done with Ken Williams' book. Ken Williams, the co-founder of Sierra Online. And it's fantastic. He seems like a great guy. I don't know if he was a great guy back then. It sounds like he meant well, but he definitely owns up and brings up himself a lot of faults. You know, sometimes being a very difficult person to work for, you know, forcing people to work over holidays and stuff like that to meet deadlines. But it's a very fantastic book. Seems like a very truthful book. And if you like retro gaming, old computers or anything like that, I would highly recommend it. What else do I have going on? Oh, a while ago, man, like 6 months ago, I think it was one of our listeners. I want to say Stanley, but it may have been someone else. Sorry, listener, who actually brought this up to us. But there is a cool retro game collector app for iOS and Android. You pretty much catalog your collection, and it's free for one system. So if you only have, you know, NES games, you're good to go. But I think it's like $2.99 a year if you want to use the whole database. And it was just fun. My collection isn't huge, so it was kind of fun going through it and seeing what things are worth and just kind of visualizing what I actually have on paper. And I've been kind of obsessive over that the past few weeks. What else did I have going on? I'm on the last guy of Metroid Dread, and I want to say this game is fantastic.
But so you're already at the end?
Yeah, I had a few late nights there, and I had a few early mornings, before
the game
work.
It was like 3 days old, right?
Yeah. So I got it Friday morning. I started it. I took a 2-hour lunch on Friday. Played it that night. Yeah, a lot on Saturday. I think it's fantastic. It's a great October game. It is terrifying. And I have a feeling it's going to be held up pretty high with maybe second, third, at the most fourth best Metroid game. So, and I mean by people who love Metroid. So It'll be interesting to see what Zach thinks about it. I know Super Metroid's, you know, one of his all-time favorites, and he loves the GBA game as well. So, definitely highly recommend that game. What else? Just one thing I wanted to note, that this Saturday, Hallmark is releasing the rest of their retro video game ornaments. I think specifically the Sega ones. Maybe a few more Nintendo ones. So this podcast is out by then, definitely check those out. But yeah, what have you been up to?
So I think we pre-ordered all those ornaments. My wife buys a lot of Star Wars ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's Hallmark has still uses like a paper-based pre-order system. Like you get like an all-you-can-eat menu, like you would get at a, like a Japanese all-you-can-eat sushi place. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you do like check off what ornaments you want. And she does, she buys so many of them. And I'm part of the problem too, because I buy a lot of ornaments. That like Hallmark called her sometime over the summer because they were worried because they hadn't gotten her form yet. Wanted to make sure she was okay. So I assume we pre-ordered all the video game ones. I think there was one I looked at and said, yeah, I don't need that.
I'm mostly excited about the Super Nintendo light up one. Like the front lights up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Flying Mario one is already out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I got that one too. And I think I got a Donkey Kong maybe.
Okay. I have a lot of Donkey Kong ornaments already, but I might have bought that one too. So what am I up to? So I went out of town for a couple days, went up to Northwoods, stayed at this cabin I probably talked about before, where the game room, it's not like a game room, they have like a bar game room area, has a tabletop Frogger game from 1983.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Possibly older. It still works. Still there, still works. Does not look awesome. You know, it's a almost 40-year-old game at this point. Still plays just fine, though, and it is just amazing to see a functional tabletop Frogger game anywhere. So that's always cool.
I had sorry to cut you off there. I just want to interject. I have a buddy who does a lot of, stocks a lot of video games and bars and stuff around here. Mm-hmm. And he says, without fail, Frogger is always his number one by like 4 to 8 times in terms of cash revenue.
So do you think that is because Frogger is not on a lot of collections?
I think so. And I also think it has like male and female attraction where it's kind of easy to pick up. It's kind of cute. It's fun. People recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they also have like a Miss Pac-Man game there. It's an original Miss Pac-Man game, but it's in like a wood grain cabinet. It's obviously, I don't know where they got it from. And I'm sure they don't at this point either remember where they got it from.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I would not. No offense, I'm probably not going to play a Miss Pac-Man because I have 10 different versions at home. Whereas Frogger, I don't know if I have an arcade version of Frogger.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what would be the last thing I played Frogger on. And the only thing I could think of is 2600. Like, was there an updated one for the 7800? I can't even remember.
No, but there was a Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo version.
Really?
And of course, it's been Yeah, it was like the last game. Well, it was sort of the last game for each system. Let's just say it was one of the final games, depending on however you want to quantify last game for a system. Frogger was among the very last for both of those.
Was it modernized or just like the arcade?
Yeah, it was the arcade game with graphics that were maybe upscaled, you know, that were improved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad. I mean, it's a good port. But yeah, I usually end up playing Frogger on, 2600 is a kind of my go-to. So while we were up there, it's kind of the last weekend. A lot of towns up there are open. You know, it was a 4-day weekend. So it's kind of the last weekend that anyone kind of goes up to northern Wisconsin. By now all the leaves have fallen. Like a week ago, they were beautiful and now they're all gone. So
yeah,
a lot of towns close up. And I stopped at one thrift store. Because it was like their last weekend and they're having a sale. And maybe Zach will post this on the Instagram or something. But they had signs all over the place that said all their VHS tapes were free. And they had a lot of VHS tapes. Like if you wanted to do like a blockbuster aesthetic in your house, you know, like you've heard of like Books by the Foot before.
Yeah.
Very popular service. If you just want books and you want them in a particular color or a particular genre, because for your Zoom background, you want to look smart by having a wall of books. If you want to do the VHS tapes, I mean, you could have walked out of there with hundreds of VHS tapes. And most of them were like mainstream movies. Like, I think I'd heard of everything I saw there. It's just nothing that I would really want to watch. And I certainly don't have, like, I don't have room to store VHS tapes, nor do I even own a functional VHS player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did not take, there was one guy there who took like a, pretty good sized box, and he at least asked if it was okay for him to take that many. And the owner's like, yes, please.
Yeah, I could imagine, yeah.
But I suspect this will be a trend, that VHS tapes are basically worthless except for decoration at this point. Or if you're like a cult film collector, like some movie that hasn't been moved to, that ever got a DVD release or a streaming release. Or if the other use case I could think of is like you want a cut of Star Wars that doesn't have Jabba the Hutt in the first movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't really been playing a whole lot. I do want to give a shout out to the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. Their last episode is covering Skeleton Plus for the 2600, and that's a great game to play this time of year, so I want to recommend the game, but also the episode talking about the game. This is like one of the most like technologically advanced 2600 games. It is really, really good. Have you ever played it?
No, I've never played that one. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, yeah, that is, it's 100% worth the play. All right, you want to get into some news and stuff? And
sure, well, I guess a Yorkshire gang, which I think is a town in England.
Yeah, not the dog, I assume.
Yes, a Yorkshire gang's Game Boy device could unlock cars in seconds. So this is a $20,000 device that looks like, that is in a Game Boy case, it looks like, or?
Yeah, it looks like a Game Boy case that they're disguising their car breaking in device as a Game Boy. If you asked me to like draw a picture of a UK car thief, I would definitely have drawn the guy in this article.
Yes. Yeah, he looks like he could be cast in a movie easily.
Oh yeah, Trainspotting. He's right out of the movie Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah. So not very video game related, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, I was gonna say, sticking with the hardware section.
Yeah, yeah. The next one, I forgot if we covered in the last episode, but one of my predictions came true. Tron the arcade cabinet is now being made by 1UP Arcade. So it's a beautiful arcade cab by that has Tron and discs of Tron. It looks fantastic. It looks just like I want it to. And I have a real Tron cab literally right next to me, which is probably my favorite possession. And I'm still going to order this almost as a backup. But at that point, I mean, I keep my arcade cabs because I want my kids and friends to see, like, and you know, remember what CRTs look like and how beautiful they were. And do I need that? They're really hard to maintain. Am I a poser if I just use 1UP Arcade?
No, that's fine. On the same announcement, they also have Ridge Racer.
Huh. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Ridge Racer looks like it was announced at the same time.
I'm not seeing that here. What else? Is there anything else in that cab?
The Ridge Racer cabinet looks like just Ridge Racer. It's got a wheel. It's got pedals. It's not a sit down, strangely enough. Again, they have to pick models that aren't like 6'2" for their pictures because the guy playing it doesn't look very comfortable.
Yeah, his back's always arched over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. They got a couple other cabinets, but yeah, these are all ones that have been announced before. So, but this one comes out 11/22. Ridge Racer.
Nice.
I don't know. I think I would rather build like a driving cabinet with a PlayStation inside.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, PlayStation did have some cool wheel and pedal controllers, so that is a fantastic idea.
Yeah. Nintendo 64 also, which is arguably a better system for racing games than the PlayStation. It's tough. Mm-hmm. That's a really tough competition, right? Because you have exclusives on either side.
Yeah.
I had a Nintendo 64 steering wheel and pedals at one point, but I probably got rid of them due to lack of space.
I didn't even know they came out with those for Nintendo 64.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. I mean, they're not good for like Ocarina of Time, but they're good for many other things. Let's see. We have our Doom Running on Things section, but this is a different take on it. This is Golden Axe recreated in Doom.
Hot take. It kind of seems better than actual Golden Axe.
Yeah, Golden Axe is okay. It's just really short and kind of repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Great soundtrack. Certainly, when I saw it on the Sega Genesis, I was blown away. It looks so much better than any other home game I'd ever seen at that point.
Yeah, unless it was the TurboGrafx port.
Oh, that is monstrously bad. Yeah.
But this looks great. Luckily we
didn't get that in America. Yeah. Very good mod. What else have we got here? Takedown Letter Pending. Final Fantasy V is now on Vita.
Yeah, this is just the follow-up from, what was it, a few weeks ago we announced Final Fantasy IV is on the Vita. This is just the Android remake that's ported to it. This is definitely unofficial and will get you in trouble.
Yes. Well, at least the developer.
Yeah.
So I have only ever played Final Fantasy V, like, on Android.
Huh.
That was the first, like, English port. Well, official English port was on iOS and Android.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like this one. I like the job system in this game. I like it a lot better than 4, for sure. Not 6 is still my favorite, but 5 did a really good job with the class system.
And it was fine with just touch controls?
Yeah. Yeah, cool. It's an RPG. You know, what do you need, man?
Yeah, yeah.
It does the virtual D-pad, where when you're controlling, like, in the overworld, you just can use your finger anywhere on the screen to control the characters.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It takes me a while to get used to, though. This next one, I think, is my favorite article of the week, because it's so stupid, it's great. Fisher playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, and it honestly doesn't look that different from the pros. And so they hooked up cameras or something to an aquarium and segmented it into 16 sections, almost like if you cut a square cake or something into 16 pieces, like you would cut a pizza, actually, you know, where they all intersect in the middle and they're all triangles, not like squares. Uh-huh. And depending where the fish are is what button gets pressed, and it knows which fish by the color of the fish. And I think this is funny because really, if you look at the video, it looks like my wife and I playing Street Fighter, like just mashing buttons.
Yeah, like I'll say I've played a lot of Mortal Kombat, and I used to be pretty good at it. I'm probably not anymore because I don't play very often, and, you know, I'm just not as good at action games as I used to be. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that playing against someone who just had no idea what they were doing and was hitting buttons randomly was usually harder than playing against someone who kind of knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Do you think you could beat a fish in Street Fighter 3?
I've never played Street Fighter 3. I like to think I could, but I don't know any of the moves.
They're all the same.
Does it have the 100-hand slap? I feel like the fish would not know what to do against the 100-hand slap.
It does have that, and yeah, that is a good point. But yeah, if our listeners want a good chuckle, definitely check out this article.
So this is we're still in our miscellaneous and other interesting things section. What is this? Super Metroid fan finds incredibly rare Easter egg using glitches. Yes, they found
another eye.
Another eye with the little camera thing that follows you around. There's a way to unlock another one through a series of bizarre actions that seem completely disconnected.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people reading this article would think, why? Why do this? And who cares? But
that's what I'm thinking as well.
Well, there's someone I watch on Twitch quite regularly that only speedruns Super Metroid. Just watching him is incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gets bored of the speed run, so he'll switch it up where, you know, he does the bosses in reverse order and stuff like that. So I could see, you know, just adding this to the mix, you know, speed run, how you, you know, who could get this glitch the fastest or something. So that's really the only reason why I would see to do this.
This maybe should have gone under the takedown letter pending section, but
yes,
there's a massive leak of Xbox and Dreamcast game prototypes.
Yeah. And what I think the interesting thing in this, other than it exists, is that, yeah, you get to see a lot of games that never made it to market. So they started them and they just never, you know, you never knew they almost existed, you know?
Yeah.
I don't recommend downloading this because who knows what viruses are in it.
I worry about that a lot too with Lee. I mean, frequently things get hidden in these massive leaks that you don't want on your computer.
Yeah, yeah. Classic shoot 'em up, Glaylancer. Is that how you pronounce that? Glaylancer. Yes. I keep wanting to say Graylancer, but Glaylancer, yes. Coming to PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. October 15th, which is in 2 days. So, was this a Japanese-only Mega Drive release? I think.
I believe so. I don't recall this ever getting a U.S. release.
Oh, it was on the Wii Virtual Console in 2008. That's the only time we would have seen it.
Yeah.
Looks like a TurboGrafx-16 shooter.
Is it a TurboGrafx-16?
Like, no, it's not TurboGrafx-16. It just looks like it, but... It looks like it has beautiful backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, right. It's not even on PC Engine. It's just Mega Drive, Virtual Console, and then there was a Windows port sometime later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This looks cool. I might have to pick this up. It looks like it has a lot of anime kind of cutscenes in it.
The game's title is an example of Ingrish, in which was common of many shooting games of that era. The R from Gray was substituted with L, resulting in the game's title. That's from Wikipedia.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
And yes, of course, R and L frequently get flipped.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some translations where B and V get flipped a lot, too. I don't know how common that is, but like East 3, right? One of the translations, the B's and V's are flipped everywhere in like proper names.
I never noticed that. Which one is that? That's not in the TurboGrafx one, is it?
No, it's the Sega Genesis one has, like, Valenstein Castle is Valenstein Castle. Like,
that's
stuff like that.
Awesome. And there's a campground, I think this is in Holland, that has been using an Atari ST since 1985.
So they built a reservation system and like activity calendar. Like this guy just built this thing on his Atari ST in 1985 to run the camp and still uses it every day. There's a map that looks beautiful. Did you see the picture of the map?
No.
The quality is, it does not look like 1985 to me. Like this guy is I don't know why he didn't go into like whoever wrote this. Maybe the camp is like, maybe running a camp makes them really happy and they don't care that they could have maybe made more money as a software engineer, or maybe the camp makes tons of money. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
a
hugely profitable camp. Maybe they don't care. Maybe money doesn't motivate them and they just love running their camp, which I wish I could feel that way. But yeah, it's a very, you look at the pictures in the attached video. It looks amazing.
I just tried and it almost crashed my browser just because we're recording and all that at the same time. So I had to close it.
Yeah, it does not look like something written in 1985 to me.
Yeah, yeah. And Atari ST was pretty powerful for back then.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of HeroQuest?
Long, long time ago. I think, did Zach add this one? This is about someone finally posted the dumped ROM of this game. So this is a prototype game in German that a collector bought, and finally the ROM is up on archive.org.
Yeah, that's cool. So I hope those carts start coming down in price.
I think is this the only cart in existence?
I don't know.
I thought this was unique. So the game itself looks a little bit like a little Solstice-y looking.
It doesn't look fantastic to me.
It looks okay. I mean, I downloaded this. I'll probably give it a try.
Is there do you need to know German for it, or you think you could power through it?
I think I could probably get by with Google Translate for a few.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever few words there are. I don't really know any German at all. There's probably 3 or 4 words I could probably recognize. And
yeah, yeah.
Well, most of them are related. Most of them are related to food. So.
Or beer, yeah. Yeah. Well, that is news. That was, sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking as an adult, I've only been to Germany once. As a kid, I'd been to West Germany because it was still West Germany. But I really want to go back. It seems I had a coworker who went over there because of we were acquiring a company out there, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And just had great stories about how awesome it was and the food and the people. And I've only really been to the airport, unfortunately.
I'm with you. I was there as a teenager, and I'd like to go as a real adult. Preferably not around Oktoberfest.
Yeah. But certainly roughly this time of year, because I think the weather's pretty nice there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is news. I guess we got some game club.
Yeah. We got a couple, I think, very, very appropriate games for the season.
Mine's up there first, so I'll just jump into it. I did Luigi's Mansion. This was a launch game for the GameCube. I played it on 3DS for the first time just 2 years ago, and I just picked it up quickly this time. And I didn't get it when it was new. I went to, I don't know if you remember this, but they had GameCube launch parties around the country.
I do not remember that. I'm saving some of the stories for when we do a YouTube episode a month from now.
Good call. Yeah. So,
we should probably start a doc for that.
We really should.
GameCube launch stuff to talk about.
But I wasn't that impressed with it with the few minutes I played with it back then. And so I never bought it. So, you know, it was the first time only a few years ago I played it, and I loved it. And I've played the first two games, and definitely the first one is a little better. I know the second one has mixed reviews. I'm one of those people that really likes the second game. But yeah, so this is Luigi going into a mansion with, he runs into EGAD, who is a kind of mad scientist studying the paranormal. And EGAD says, hey, you know, a guy that looks like Mario ran through here and never came back. And also this mansion only appeared here a few days ago. And so Luigi goes through and with a vacuum called, oh man, what's the vacuum called again? It's going to drive me crazy. Well, anyway.
Ghostvac 3000?
Something like that, yes.
I just made that up.
It's something like that. And he also has a flashlight. So you vacuum up ghosts and coins and other collectibles, and use the flashlight to discover things and stun ghosts and stuff like that. It's a 3D game, but it's fixed camera, which I think works really well. This was supposed to be a late Nintendo 64 title, but I think it's good that they saved it for the GameCube. And I just adore this game. It has fantastic music, fantastic graphics, and kind of ghost transparency effects. The ending is fantastic. It doesn't get too hard. It's a little bit repetitive, but the way I would describe this game is I would describe it as the best Ghostbusters game ever made.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they got it right when so many other developers didn't. But what's your little take on this one?
So I did get this game at launch, and it's kind of weird because you're playing it then essentially during the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know, whatever. Maybe I'm the only weird person that thinks you should only play games during certain times of year. But yeah, I really like this. It's still definitely one of my favorite GameCube games even today. Mm-hmm. It is, you mentioned the difficulty. It is super easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I ever came close to feeling very challenged in this game. You know, I made good use of the controller. You know, I think everyone was maybe a little skeptical about the GameCube controller at first, and once you saw it being used in a game, you know, that was really designed for it, all your concerns were gone. I just think it's, I thought it was a really well done game. And I didn't like the sequel very much. Oh, yeah, let's get that out of the way. I haven't tried the third yet.
I heard the third is fantastic.
Yeah, I probably should have bought that to play during October, but I didn't plan ahead very well. There's still more Octobers to come, and I think the Switch will be around for a while. So
yeah,
I guess that's all right. So yeah, really, really great game. I mean, if you hit, somehow you've missed this game, you really got to go try it.
Yeah, I'm shocked this hasn't come to the Switch yet. And some people, I think one of our listeners writes in later and says that the 3DS port isn't as good. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It played great for me, but you know, I hadn't really touched the GameCube one, you know, since 2001. So, you know, I'm not one to judge, but it played great for me. And the 3D effects, you know, I only turn those on every once in a while because I don't like my eyes popping out of my head. But when I did, it looked really cool, you know, with the transparencies and stuff like that. So, yeah, like
and
you,
the game's really funny too. Luigi is such a funny, like, cowardly lead character. Mm-hmm.
He's such an underrated mascot for Nintendo. And I think EGAD is great too. You know, I was shocked that he didn't get his own game eventually.
So did you like the blatant ads for the Game Boy Advance in the game?
Yes. Loved them. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he gets a Game Boy horror, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I guess it would be Game Boy Color, right? Game Boy Advance was not out yet.
Yeah, that's right. It looks just like a Game Boy Color. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I think we just gave it two thumbs up, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go to your game.
Yeah, so I went with Night Trap, which is a game I do legitimately enjoy. People make fun of FMV games from the time. I mean, I understand why you might, but this game, to me, is just a solid game. So I tend to play the 3DO or 32X versions.
Mm-hmm.
No particular reason why. They look a little better than the original Sega CD version. Load times maybe aren't quite as good as, you know, 3DO load time seems to be abysmal most of the time. But once the game's going, it actually plays pretty quickly. Those are just my preferences. But, I mean, the idea of the game is kind of cool. Like, you've got this house that's filled with traps. The traps, of course, were placed there by the vampire-adjacent monsters so they could trap teenage girls in their house.
Mm-hmm.
But you use you hijack the trap system and use it to trap them instead. So, you know, you're toggling between like six or eight different rooms. I probably should have this. I'm a big fan of the game. I don't remember the number of rooms off the top of my head. And what's cool is you can actually sit and like just watch the story from the perspective of one room, because like you have to hop to rooms at certain times. Like everything happens in a fixed time. I mean, I played through this a long, long, long time ago with a friend, and it was essentially one of us would play, try different rooms. The other one would like have a notepad. And by the time we were done, we worked out the entire timeline. Like you have to be in this room at this time and then go to this room. And if you hop to this room, there's a optional cutscene, you know, like GameFAQs didn't exist yet. But through that, you can see the story progress and also catch all the bad guys. So I just think that's a neat idea. Double Switch did basically the same thing. And then I don't know if anyone has replicated this. I don't know if anyone else has really copied this too much. I have to look around a little bit. Just watching a playthrough, though, is a lot like watching a late night horror film. It's only 30 minutes. Right. So not a big time commitment if you just want to watch a playthrough. And I just think it's a fun game. I really, really like it. And I've bought many remakes of it, possibly every remake of it at this point. Someday, if I get a much bigger game room, I will probably have a Night Trap shelf somewhere.
That would be funny.
All right. So Night Trap, what are your impressions?
So, yeah, at first it seems like a really simple game. And it kind of is, but it's really impressive how they're playing all those videos in the corner at once. So you can kind of see what's going on at each camera. And, you know, you know which one to swap to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that it has a great theme song. It's too bad that we have amazing songs that people have written for us for our podcast, or that would have been great bumper music for this episode. But I think it's obvious that no congressperson has ever played this game because it is pretty tame.
Yes, it's extremely tame. I mean, it's, I often say that the commercials for a Saw movie are worse than Night Trap.
Oh, yeah. What else? What do I have anything in my notes here? Yeah, the girls partying alone is pretty cringy. There's a lot of cringy stuff in it, but yeah, it's crazy that this was supposed to be a VHS game. I don't know how that would have worked.
Yeah, it was for like a custom VHS system. I mean, if you think, maybe not like Action Max, but some other VHS system. So imagine a system that was like a Laserdisc system, but used VHS tapes instead is kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, that's why the game came out. I believe it came out after Dana Plato had passed away, because it had been filmed several years earlier.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, but yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, the 3DO port is probably the best. 32X is probably a close second. You know, now that you have the PS4 ports, you know, and Switch too, I think.
Yeah, there's a Vita port of all crazy things.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Do you have that one physical?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I have a problem. That's the thing. Like, in terms of game collecting, I don't collect everything, but there's, like, certain games or series that I collect everything. And Sega CD and TurboGrafx CD full motion video games are right in that sweet spot of things that I collect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, even the Limited Run Games did a reprint of, like, Ground Zero Texas recently. Not a particularly good FMV game. I bought that. So I'm not going to collect every Sega CD and TurboGrafx CD game, but I am going to get all the FMV games.
I'm trying to remember what the bad guys in this are called.
They're called Augurs.
Augurs, that's right. They're like proto-vampires.
Yeah, they're vampires that walk funny.
Yes. They're dudes with nylons over their face.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty hilarious game. Pretty fun. And yeah, I think it's fun to have a buddy over, or, you know, your spouse or whoever, and try to get through this game. It'd be hard not to have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to play next?
So we only got about a week or two before Halloween. We might only get one more episode in before Halloween. So I got to pick another Halloween game, and I'm going to go with Friday the 13th. And although I will probably play the NES version, there is like a computer version that is a different game that perhaps I'll try instead.
Neat. Cool. I'm going to do Devil's Crush, one of my all-time favorite games, on the TurboGrafx 16.
Is that on the TurboGrafx 16 Mini Classic or whatever it's called?
I forget. I feel like it is, but I forget. Yeah, I feel like it is. There's a kind of port for the Genesis that has a totally different name that is also a totally different game. So don't play that one.
Right, and don't play Crew Ball. Actually, Crew Ball is not that bad of a game. Have you played that?
No.
It looks like it's on Virtual Console. I don't see it listed as a TurboGrafx Mini version. I will double check. I'll fire my TurboGrafx Mini up and just find out the real way.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of is Dragon's Revenge? Is that the Genesis
version? I think so, yeah. Something like that, yeah. Don't play that. Totally different. So that's, Friday the 13th and Devil's Crush. If any of our listeners play any of these games, any other retro games you want to talk about, any suggestions, any news items, you know, things you're working on, things that are cool, retro of note, please email us, email@retrogameclub.net. That is email@retrogameclub.net. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.retrogameclub.net, and Twitter and Instagram, I think, are both at RGC Podcast, but we have the link tree in our show notes so you can see all that stuff. And a quick shout out to Zach for maintaining all that stuff and so much more. And also, if for some reason at all our Night Trap audio sounds different halfway through, I had crazy Windows 11 problems halfway through. So we have like a makeshift podcasting setup right now.
Yes. Yes, yeah. My work did send an email urging everyone not to upgrade to Windows 11 yet.
I don't blame them.
But clearly, they know something. We don't. It's emailed Joseph, or perhaps just Joe, emailed us that he remembers Night Trap being a huge deal back in the day. Finally got to play it when they did the re-release a few years back. It's good for what it is and definitely has a lot of camp appeal. And says Luigi's Mansion looks great and was a fine introduction to what the GameCube could do. Was not a big fan of the coin collection aspect, but Catching Ghosts is a lot of fun, and it's a very fun game to play this time of year. And yes, he's the one that notes it does not play very well on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there you go. I wonder if on the new 3DS, it's better.
Yeah, I have the new XL, yeah. So it might play a little bit better. And he does note, yeah, the arcade version. I always forget about that. They always have that at Dave and Buster's and places like that. Very fun.
This.
Oh yeah, it's huge, and you get the vacuum thing. You get like physical ones of those.
So it's a game based.
It's a different game.
It's a different game because you said Dave and Buster's, so it makes it sound like it's some kind of sit down thing.
I think there's an environmental one, and I think there's a stand up one, but I could be wrong.
Right, I've never been in a Dave and Buster's.
It's fun. People make fun of it. I've never had a bad time in a Dave and Buster's or Round One or all their competitors. They're all the same.
And then Zach asked some questions about Night Trap and favorite Halloween games out on social media. I got a few responses here. Someone mentions getting the Platinum Trophy on PlayStation 4 version of Night Trap a couple years ago. Trophy hunting is a great way to play the game because it means you see all the video footage that normally you might skip. Mm-hmm. That's true, because all the optional plot points you could just skip. Let's see. The Padokan Arcade Podcast says Night Slashers, Nightmare in the Dark, House of the Dead are all good Halloween picks. Someone else recommends Resident Evil 4. Halloween Harry, a.k.a. Alien Carnage on PC. Blood 1 and 2. Yeah, the Metro series, which I've not played. And the Condemned series. Get a recommendation for Medieval. And
You ever played Medieval? I've never played that one.
I have not. It's on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. I've heard the name a few times.
No, I've not played this. Looks all right.
Yeah, I think it was very well reviewed.
Yeah, looks like it. It got a re-release, you know, where they put in a new packaging, like a greatest hits package.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
And and one more person writes in saying they just have a giant, giant backlog of old games to get through. And that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, that's email at retrogameclub.net. And we spent most of this time trying to figure out why my audio wasn't working. So we're kind of out of it right now.
And we still don't know why it wasn't.
No, yeah. This is going, I'm going through a phone right now. So don't upgrade to Windows 11. Hey, maybe my computer's haunted, right?
It could be, man. I've certainly had computers do bizarre things before.
Well, cool. I guess that wraps it up. And again, we have, what are our new games? Devil's Crush and Friday the 13th. Yes. And thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening.